If you listen very carefully to this message, you will have heard everything you need to know about salvation. Now, that's important because everything we need to know about salvation is all we need to know about salvation. Okay? Excuse me. Now, what you will hear is given to you directly from the Holy Word of our living God. It didn't come from a Rick Warren or a Joyce Meyer. It didn't come from a Joel Osteen or a Benny Hinn. No. Nothing should be added or taken away in any part or form from these scriptures as recorded in the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. If you should alter any of the given scriptures in any way, then your name will be taken out of the Book of Life. This, of course, means you were never saved to begin with. You were never saved to begin with. I want to start off by bringing to your attention Psalm 12. Psalm 12, one of the most important verses of Scripture in the entire Bible. If you can't get past Psalm 12, chances are you will never get to the throne of God. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Listen carefully. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. From this generation forever. That's when David penned these words as given to him by the Lord God. That's so important, vital. Pure words. Do you understand that? Pure words. Purified seven times. Now, seven times, seven is the number of completion. Of course, God could have said one time, it would not have mattered if it came from God. Anything that comes from God is pure, is holy and pure. Now, here's a warning. Do not tamper with the Word of God. Now, since it is sin which keeps us out of heaven and sends us to hell, then we should explore the origin of sin, right? We should know why, how come we're sinning. Just so we don't end up saying, oh, duh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a sin. Well, you will know before this message is complete, so you are without excuse. Within our Canadian law system, in fact, in the Americas, really, there's something you should know that's vital. And if you ever end up in a court of law, remember this. Ignorance of the law is of no excuse. A lot of people have stood before a judge in a courtroom and said, oh, I didn't know that, Your Honor. I didn't know that. Well, you can't stand before God and say, I didn't know that, Lord. Nobody told me. Ooh, it won't go over too good, I assure you. So it is with the law of God. I didn't know is not going to keep you out of hell. It's not. By saying I didn't know, well, now you do know. You know now, right? You just heard me say it. You see, sin, all sin officially originated in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says so. As we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, that's the old devil, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman Eve, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now this, my friends, was the grand opening of the greatest play ever produced. The name of the play? Confusion. Confusion. Now confusion, of course, is when doubt, whether small or great, enters into life's equation. And Satan was then and still is the master of confusion. That's his greatest weapon, confusion. We can't blame Eve totally for what happened next. Can we? No. What did Eve say in answer to Satan? Well, let's go there first. Now remember, Satan said, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the trees of the garden. A little play on God's words, don't you think? In chapter 3, verse 2, Eve responds to the slimy wrangler. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Let me say that again. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And if we go to verse 6, we see the outcome of Eve's confab with Satan. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, what did Eve do? She did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. He did eat. Now, talk about confusion. How many of you hearing this message tend to think that Eve was confused? Huh? Well, let's explore the possibility for a moment. Okay? I'm not picking on Eve. Let's just say you were Eve. You are Eve, okay? Alias the rib. You were once a rib, and now you're a woman. Secondly, you're with this guy, Mr. Perfection. Or is he really perfect now with one rib missing? Huh? Thirdly, you are both naked. No shame there. You're both naked. Then, for some reason, Adam is away doing his business. So what happens? What happens? Along comes a snake. A big, slimy snake that talks. Now, we know today snakes don't talk, right? But this wasn't just any snake. You know, a regular snake in the grass, as it were. This guy has quite a heritage. And is a good vocabulary as well. The creepy crawler was once Lucifer, the head angel in heaven, until God's number one angel got too smart for his own good and wanted to overthrow God. He wanted to take over God's kingdom. Pride had moved in. So God gave him the boot and cast him down to earth. Unfortunately for mankind, Satan, with his new name, had retained much of his power and lay siege to his very own empire. You see, he was given the world, the planet Earth. Why not Mars or Venus or some other galaxy somewhere? Why the planet Earth? If that's where we are going to live. Well, to make a long story short, God in his omniscience knows what the end result will be. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next year, next century. He knows. everything. God is all-knowing. In the meantime, we have been given a choice. God or the devil. God or the devil. Now, tell me, has this confusion carried over to the present? Because the same question that Satan asked Eve in the beginning is still being asked today. The same question that was asked of Eve in the beginning is still being asked today in churches all over the world. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? It tells you, yes. Yea, hath God said? I mean, they don't use the same phrase, but that's actually what they're saying when they take all these different Bibles. And they go through the list. Oh, well, God doesn't say that in my Bible. Oh, well, you got that old King James Bible. You think that's the Word of God? Yes, I do. I don't just think it, I know it. And I have proof to back it up. All right. Yea, have God said? Satan's confusion is out of control. I mean, Eve's a little bit rattled, but not to the point where she doesn't understand the language that God has given her. I'm not saying it was English at the time. The only difference is that there have been slight variations to bring this confusion up to the present day. As I mentioned, various churches, various Bibles talk about confusion. God's not the author of confusion, but Satan is. That's his main weapon. For example, now, today we have, are you absolutely sure that God said that? And in answer to verse 4, where Satan said to Eve, ye shall not surely die, you say, well, how can you be sure God means what he says? Well, he wouldn't say it if he didn't mean it. He's God. He's all-powerful. He knows what he's doing. He's not stupid, you know. God means what he says, and he'll do what he says. Okay, now here we are. Are you living a lie? Or have you acknowledged your sin before God? Are you living a lie, or have you really acknowledged your sin before God? You know, I'm going to give you the title. The name that I gave my message today, I wanted to get you introduced to the message before I gave it to you. The name of my message is How to Know You're Saved, or How to Be Saved, rather, and Know It. How to Be Saved and Know It. Before this message is through, finished, you will know how to be saved, and you will know you are saved. Okay? Now, why is it people cannot or will not realize their sinful condition? Is it because they don't believe they should be shouldering the sin of Adam and Eve? Well, it's not my fault. Come on. The Word of God makes it clear that when sin entered into the world, it passed upon all men. And women too. And the result of sin is what? The result of sin is death. Now, if you could go through life without committing, say, a single sin, not even a itty-bitty sin, if you could go through life without committing a single sin, well, guess what? In God's eyes, you would still be a sinner. Now, why is that? Because our first parents were sinners. Adam and Eve. We are still their adopted children. Those who are born again, saved, have moved on spiritually to become God's adopted children. But the lost, The lost and perishing, the unsaved, are still the devil's kids. Okay? Still the devil's kids. Okay. In Romans 3, we read, now this is important, listen carefully, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Every one of us. Whether we think we did or not, we have. And, in fact, that's a sin for thinking you didn't. So, you know, don't walk around like Mr. or Mrs. Perfection or whatever. You're not. You're a sinner. I'm still a sinner. Even though I'm saved, I'm still a sinner. But the only difference between me and you, if you're not saved, is that my sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I repented and believed in Him as my Savior, that He went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, and saved me from my sin. And, you know, spiritually speaking, I'm going to heaven no matter what happens. But, you know, this old flesh that still, you know, it beleaguers me, just, you know, attacks me almost daily and causes me sometimes to trip up. You know, that flesh cannot get into heaven. But that's okay, because when the rapture comes, the Word of God says our bodies, our fleshly bodies, will be changed just like unto His glorious body, Jesus Christ, when He comes to take us out. He can't take sin to heaven, a sinful body, old sinful flesh. No, He can't. He changes it like His body. Doesn't mean you're going to look like Him. It means you're going to be free of sin, pure like He is. Then you can enter into glory. Now, beware. Here's a warning. Beware of false preachers. Look, there's scads of them out there. They're all over the place. Every turn you make. Nowadays, a great majority of the preachers are false preachers. They don't preach the whole Word of God. They intermingle what the Bible says with their own perception of what we should or should not do. In other words, they try to play a little God themselves. How many of you like to hear a preacher say, you're not a sinner anymore. Christ died to set you free. Well, yes. Christ did die for our sins and the sins of the whole world. He did. But guess what? We're still sinners. We're still sinners, and we'll stay sinners until Jesus returns to change, like I said, our vile bodies, like onto His sinless body, rather. Only then, will sin be totally conquered, eradicated completely. Well, sure, there are lots of new Bibles out there today, and more on the way, always coming. Most of them will proclaim, you are free from sin. Well, these corrupt Bibles will say whatever you want them to say, because they're not of God. They're corrupt. They're of the devil. So steer clear. Steer clear. The Word of God says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you think you're not a sinner, think again. For those of you who may have a problem with this statement, well, allow me to explain. Firstly, yes, Christ died for all our sins. So, if you have repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are heaven bound. Isn't that great? You're heaven bound. If you've repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are heaven bound, spiritually. All right? Spiritually, your soul is secure. And that cannot be undone. That cannot be taken away from you. Your soul is secure. However, since sinful flesh, like I said, cannot enter into heaven our bodies must be changed. The Bible says from corruptible to incorruptible. From corruptible to incorruptible. Christ causes this to happen. When we come to take his church home. First, the dead in Christ will rise. Then we, which remain, will join him in the air. At this time, our sinful bodies will be changed on our way up. As we leave the earth and on our way up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Our sinful bodies, which come out of the grave, or if we're still alive at the time of the rapture, when they're raised up, they'll be changed on their way up. Sinful flesh cannot enter into the presence of God. And that's why we will be saved. Not only our soul, which is saved already once we believe, but our bodies will be changed. We'll get new bodies. Isn't that great? I don't know. Some of our old bodies are just not that good anymore. It's good we're getting new bodies, isn't it? I mean, bodies that don't get sick, bodies that don't get the hives, bodies that don't have a sinful desire. I mean, we're going to be perfect just like Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, a pastor, even a pope. There's no difference. No matter who you are, God makes it clear you are a sinner. You are a sinner. And you don't like to hear that, do you? Nobody likes to hear they're a sinner, but you are. And if you can't admit you're a sinner, then you can't be saved from your sin. Right? And if it were not for the covering blood of Jesus Christ, we would have no fellowship with God. And he would not listen to our prayers. God simply cannot look upon sin. Do you understand that? See, a lot of people say, a lot of unsaved people, by the way, say, well, you know, I pray a lot. I pray every day to God, you know, to help me here, to do this for me, you know, to give me strength to do that, you know, and for my family too. And nothing happens. You know, I may as well forget about it. You know, well, the problem is you got to get saved first, you know. You got to become a child of the King. You got to repent and believe in the gospel of Christ. Then God will listen to your prayers. Now, how he answers them is another thing. It's up to God. That's not up to me to tell you. But I'll tell you one thing. God always answers prayer. I can testify to that. God has never once not answered my prayer. He has answered every prayer I brought before the throne of grace. And he continues and will continue to do so. You know, I've said this before. I had prostate cancer. I prayed to God that he would heal me. He healed me. I had skin cancer. I prayed to God that he would heal me. He healed me. I have problems almost every day. And I come to God. I come to the throne of grace and I say, I'm sorry, Lord. Will you please help me? And if it involves healing, I ask for healing. I don't need someone to come and lay hands on me. God lays hands on me. His word is all I need. All I need. Now, you might be a thief. You might be a fornicator, a liar, a murderer, whatever. But you are still a sinner, even after you're saved. You're a sinner according to your flesh. The main reason many don't want to accept this fact is because of one five-letter word that nobody likes to say, oh, it's pride. It's pride that's keeping you away from God. It's pride that's keeping you out of heaven. It's pride that won't let you repent. That's what it is. God hates a proud look. Look, if you want God to answer your prayers, first repent, then believe in Jesus Christ. And get rid of that pride. You're no better than anybody else. You're still a sinner. but you're a saved sinner. That's the big difference. Pride will keep you away from the cross and send you straight to hell. Let me repeat that. Pride will keep you away from the cross and send you straight to hell. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, well, it makes that very clear. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all was laid on Jesus Christ at Calvary. You see, whether you accept Christ or not, your sin is still under the blood. The thing is, you cannot activate your chances of going to heaven until you repent and receive Christ and believe in that. Do you understand that? You can't. He died for the sin of the whole world. The whole world is under the blood. But the whole world can't go to heaven because the whole world will not repent. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the Word of God says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Who can know it? God can know it. But we don't always see that your heart is wicked. We got to go by the word of God. His word says our hearts are wicked and deceitful above all things. But God knows it. God knows your heart. How many will agree with this? Right away you start making excuses for yourself. Oh, I'm not that bad. I mean that I should go to hell. Whoa, you can't call a little fib or a little white lie a real sin now, can you? I mean, call it what it is. It's a mistake, a boo-boo. No, in God's eyes, I want you to know, it's still sin. Call it what you want, but it's still sin. And God is no respecter of persons. You know, when I was a Catholic many years ago, before I got saved, you know, we were taught in the Catholic Church not to read the Bible for one thing, because we couldn't really understand what the Bible was saying. So we were not allowed to read the Bible, okay? And we were told that there were two kinds of sins. There was venial sin and there was mortal sin. A mortal sin, that's the big fella, eh? That's the one that gets you, drives you right to hell. Mortal sin. Now, venial sin is those so-called minor or little boo-boos that you commit almost daily. You know, like drinking, having to drink too much, or maybe taking the Lord's name in vain, you know, or stealing something like maybe a pack of cigarettes or something. These are called venial sins. Now, you, according to Catholicism, a venial sin would never keep you out of heaven. A mortal sin could if it wasn't confessed, but a venial sin, no. You were allowed to commit so many sins per week. You were allowed to steal so much money per week. Now, I know, it's a whole lark. That's what it is. It's a laugh. I really don't want to get into it any further, though. Because God is no respecter of persons. You could be the king of a great nation or a simple coal miner. You may be a model citizen or you could be the town drunk. We that believe in God believe that He is a God of love. And He is. Yes, He really is. This was made evident in the writing of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Hear that? For God so loved the world. That's us. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him, Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. probably the most famous quote out of Scripture, John 3:16, but yet so ignored. If you don't believe in John 3:16, you're not going to make it. You might as well just, you know, go down the basement and stare at the walls, the four gray walls that surround you. You're not going anywhere except to hell. Except to hell. Just keep in mind, God is also a God of justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness. God is perfect in every way. God is very clear in His Word that without salvation through Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope. We must prepare to meet God. Prepare has to do with the present, not, well, I'll do it next year. I urge you, don't wait. Do it now. Why? Because tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow is promised to no one. The Bible says that tomorrow is promised to no one. If you say, well, I'll wait for a better day, and you suddenly die, you're gone. You're gone. You're not gone up, you're gone down. You're gone. Listen, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. You see, a hardened heart will not believe in the salvation of the Lord. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now, right now, is the day of salvation. Are you waiting for a better day? Is that the way it is with you? Are you waiting for a better day? A more convenient time? That you want to bask in your sin a little bit longer? Ignore God's calling a little bit longer? Well, God doesn't promise a better day. To ignore God's calling, well, it's suicidal. It's suicidal. For tomorrow, your time of salvation may be past. Then you're done for. You're gone. Hell is already brimming with procrastinators. People who put it off and off and off. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, yeah, okay. I just want to have this one more drink, or I just want to have this extra fling one more time. I want to get it out of my system, then I'll believe. The procrastinator waits for another day. But once he knows the truth, another day may be a day too late. Too late. Too late. Once you have heard the truth, it's a hard march to a different drum. Once you've known the truth, it's a hard march to a different drum. The Bible tells us of two ways which people follow to enter heaven. Two ways which people follow to enter heaven. All right? One way is the way of John 14:6, when Jesus proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right? The Bible also speaks of another way, which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see what I'm saying here? Do you understand what's coming down here, what it means, how vital it is that you give your life to Christ as soon as you possibly can? Get the words out of your mouth. Get on your knees. Fall on your face if you have to. Cry out to God for salvation. He will draw you to Jesus, His Son. Then He can put all this behind you. You'll be assured that salvation is yours. And one day you will be in glory. One day you will be in glory. You know, with the multitude of Bibles on today's newsstands, Well, there's no wonder why so many choose a way that is not of God. The devil got his fingers in those Bibles. Oh, it's mixed up with the truth, too. But the truth is watered down. And all those things you like to do, you're allowed to do in a lot of those Bibles, even though they're against God. Oh, are those real Bibles? Oh, no, no. They're corrupt Bibles. They're corrupt Bibles. Remember this. No human can make you a child of God. No human can make you a child of God. Oh, sure. They can make you a church member or a member of your local lodge or country club. But there is none that have the power to make you a child of the King of Glory. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Isaiah 1, verse 18, one of my favorite verses. Come now. God is reaching out to you and he's saying, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Can you imagine that? Can you visualize that? Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Tell me, are you ready to come and reason with the Lord? Are you? Well, you just heard your invitation in Isaiah 1:18. Why not underline it in your Bible? Come. Come. Tomorrow may be too late. So, this, what you've just heard, is how to know you're saved. It's how to be saved and know it. I pray it is clear to you. I pray you will make that decision now. Do not put it off for another day. Another day is promised to no one. I beg of you, in Jesus' name, amen.